I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency describes asbestos as a mineral fiber that's been used in many manufacturing products because of its desirable qualities. Those qualities are mainly fiber strength and heat resistance. Asbestos also has one highly undesirable quality. It's a volatile carcinogen in humans. Here in the United States, asbestos use is highly regulated and restricted. It's altogether banned by the European Union, but asbestos use is growing worldwide, especially in developing countries. The BBC has conducted an extensive investigation of the global asbestos trade. It was carried out in collaboration with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, a project of the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C. Steve Bradshaw was part of the BBC's reporting team.
We've tried to find out what's going on out there globally in the asbestos industry. This is white asbestos we're talking about, or chrysotile. It's not blue or brown asbestos, which has been banned across the world. White asbestos, according to the World Health Organization, is a carcinogen. Many scientists say it's less hazardous than blue or brown asbestos, but it is a source of concern to many scientists. The industry says that it's safe if it's carefully handled. Many people say that in countries where it is widely used now, Brazil, Russia, India, China, many developing countries, we can't be sure that it is being safely handled.
So how exactly is it being used? I mean, and how is it causing harm?
Well, we've called the serious dangers in the dust because if it's broken up, the dust can be very dangerous and get into the lungs in big quantities, certainly can be dangerous. In smaller quantities, there's dispute over that. It's widely used because it's cheap, fireproof, very strong as a building material. And in many parts of the world, they need cheap, strong building materials. So there's a big demand for it. I think in India, demand's going up at the rate of 25% a year. And it's used for roofs a lot. It's used for water pipes. It's used as a building material. So there are reasons for it being out there, but the question is the benefit worth any risk?
I know listeners here in the U.S. are going to say, I thought asbestos was banned years ago. We're talking about white asbestos, which is still legal. Is it available in the United States?
It is available in the United States, and it is still in limited use. It's not banned in the U.S. It's not banned in Canada, which exports it, although it's used very little in Canada. What's banned universally is the blue or brown asbestos, so-called amphibole asbestos. White asbestos or chrysotile banned, with a few technical exemptions, in the European Union. On our count, it's banned or restricted in 52 countries, but not in the U.S. This is because there is a lot of scientific controversy over it, and because some countries have taken a different approach to the risk-benefit analysis.
Now, you went to Canada to report on this story. Canada is a major exporter of asbestos, as you indicated, mostly to India, I understand. And one of the people you spoke to in Canada was a member of Parliament, Pat Martin, who he wants to ban asbestos.
He wants to ban asbestos. There is a really big row over asbestos in Canada. It still exports it. I went to one of the mines there in a town called Asbestos. It's a huge mine. You could put the Eiffel Tower in it and cover it up. It's 2 kilometres wide. Talk to people in the Asbestos Cafe, as it's called. They're very keen on it. They say, look, nobody around here is suffering and we need the jobs. The Quebec government is considering guaranteeing a $56 million loan to the mine, but it insists that the mine shows that it can guarantee the end users of its product do so safely. The mine told me that it can meet that requirement and will guarantee that users can use it safely. But that doesn't satisfy critics like Pat Martin, who's an MP for Winnipeg. Pat Martin was a miner back in 75, I think he was a miner, when different kinds of asbestos were used. And he says, although, of course, I don't think we can be certain how he got it. He was a carpenter as well, but he did work in a mine. And he said that since then he has suffered from not fatal, but unpleasant side effects.
Well, we've got some tape from your report of MP Pat Martin. Let's hear it.
I was heavily exposed, of course, in the context of working. When you're first hired in the asbestos mines, you get handed a broom, and your job is to sweep up all the overflow of asbestos fiber, and it creates an incredible amount of dust to where it's literally banked up like mini snowdrifts all around the building. And it has had an effect in terms of scarring on my lungs.
I should say that's a different mine to the one we visited. And of course, back in those days, safety rules were much less carefully kept to. In fact, sometimes they didn't exist at all.
Not everyone you met there opposed asbestos, though, did they?
No, absolutely. There are some scientists, there are one or two who are very keen that chrysotile does have white asbestos, does have a big contribution to make still. There is a body in Montreal called the Chrysotile Institute, and they've worked with some scientists, including a British scientist called John Hoskins, who used to work for the British government. And he believes that if there is a risk, it's almost immeasurable and that the benefits much outweigh it.
The people who would like to ban chrysotile asbestos are actually committing economic damage, because you have a cheap product which does a good job. And if you remove that, then you are denying people the chance of having that particular material. And these are the people in the developing countries who either can afford a chrysotile cement building but may not be able to afford one made with alternative products.
Steve Bradshaw, I mean, it kind of reminds me a bit of the debate over DDT. Why deny the people the benefits of asbestos when the alternatives are so much more expensive? After your investigative reporting on asbestos, is that an argument you feel can legitimately be made?
Well, you know, this question of substitutes is is it a sideshow? I don't know. I mean, Barry Castleman, who's author, I think, of one of the standard legal works on this, reckons that the substitutes are probably 10 to 15% more expensive. And, you know, in some countries that is important. But, you know, I know that in China, for example, where, you know, we discovered local paper reports of journalists walking into family workshops where there was the dust wasn't being properly controlled, and then the Chinese newspapers calling on the government to shut them down. It's this concern that, you know, why shouldn't EU safety standards be applied elsewhere? I think the DDT analysis, I don't know. I mean, people have compared it to tobacco smoke. Some people, one WHO scientist told me that personally he believed the risk was not as great as tobacco smoke, but was comparable. So it all comes down to a risk-benefit analysis. Mm. But I know that some people will feel that, especially with really unpleasant illnesses like mesothelioma, no benefit is worth this risk.
Right, and there are some 100,000 people per year still dying of asbestos-related diseases.
Yeah, it's important to remember that the time lag, if you incubation or development, whatever you call it, in asbestos-related diseases can be enormous. I mean, it can be 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And what that means is that some of the people, many of the people, most of the people, we don't know which, getting these illnesses and even dying today may have contracted them back in the days when the blue or brown asbestos were not banned. Now, the concern is that if asbestos used today, white asbestos, maybe less hazardous but still out there, is not safely controlled, that could prolong the epidemic. That's the fear of many scientists, including those who work, for example, with the World Health Organization.
The BBC's Steve Bradshaw, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you too.